Welcome to the Diabetes Revolution podcast with Dr. Sarah Townley, the type 2 diabetes coach, clinical pharmacist, and mom of seven angels. You don't have to struggle and fight with your blood sugars for the rest of your life. I'm here to teach you the skills you need to control and even reverse this disease. There is such a thing as getting off your meds and creating a future free from diabetes. And you can have it too. Let's get down to business. Hey, hey, friends. Back today with another episode on the week, as promised. And I'm feeling kind of funny today. So let me tell you a little bit about what's going on. I think I mentioned in the last podcast episode that I'm in a challenge with one of my clients to lose 3% of my body fat. And we recently were discussing how important it is to enjoy the process. And I really want to spend a minute exploring that with you today, because if you're on this podcast with me, we're all on a journey for our health, right? And you can apply this to pretty much any area of your life where you are actively creating something, a result of something in your life that is different than what you have created. But the journey is the process. And I'm thinking about how my client was telling me that he's a very successful man who owns his own business. And he was telling me that years ago, somebody would have told him the lifestyle that he is able to enjoy now through the success of his business, he would have said, that would be amazing, right? I have a healthy family, two beautiful grandchildren, a successful, thriving business. And he said, the truth is that once you get there, it just feels very normal and it doesn't actually create like this overwhelming awe or joy in the day to day. And so he was saying how he really wanted to enjoy the process. I asked him what that meant to him. And he was saying, it means living with purpose and with meaning and with gratitude. And also how it's the creation, the becoming, the personal expansion of the process that is deeply satisfying. That's so much what I mean when I say enjoy the process. Now, funny, because, you know, this is like my bread and butter. This is how I think about my journey and how I coach my clients. But I had this really funny test of that this morning, because I went to a local gym that I don't belong to get an in-body scan, which is a way to measure your body fat percentage, because that is the criteria that I am measuring my progress with. Body fat percentage. Okay. And there's not a whole lot of ways to get an accurate measure of that. I don't have a device that I own that I can check that routinely with. So the best option I have available to me is an in-body scan. And an in-body scan is simply bioimpedance. It's sending an electrical current through your hands and feet to analyze how much of your body is lean mass, water, and body fat. Okay. And it's kind of specific. It tells you how much visceral fat it's detecting. And that's a really great biomarker for somebody who's concerned about insulin resistance. But it's apparently not as accurate or nearly as accurate as my preferred diagnostic tool, which is a DEXA scan. And for those of you who live in a large metropolitan area, you can usually find a place that will let you come in and get a DEXA scan for a pretty reasonable price. And DEXA scans will, in the healthcare setting, be used often to measure bone density for people who might have loss of bone mass or osteoporosis. But I'm talking about using it to analyze your body composition, and it'll tell you where your body fat is located and where it's distributed. And that's really valuable information. But I don't have DEXA scan here in Billings, Montana. So I went to the gym and got an in-body scan, and I was kind of flabbergasted by the result, because over the last month, I have been busting my butt, literally busting my butt, to create progress toward my goal of 25% body fat. Okay. I've been counting my macros and logging them every day, hitting my targets. I've been doing hard workouts, lifting heavy, getting my 10,000 steps in every day. And sleeping, you know, focusing on getting good sleep and stress management and all of that. And I can see, like, I can look at my body and I can see that there has been progress made. And I can do pull-ups for the first time in my life. Like, I'm getting stronger, I'm lifting heavier, and I can see on my body that I'm building muscle and I'm losing body fat. So when I got the result from my in-body scan report that I gained fat and lost muscle, I knew something was wrong, okay? I think it yielded that I had lost like 4.5 pounds last month. That's not as important to me as the body fat percentage. So me and the trainer that works at this big gym, we're both scratching our heads like, how is this even possible? And inside, I know it's wrong, right? Because I can see it with my eyes. It was a very small gain, by the way, on the body fat percentage, but still, I was expecting to see a loss, right? I just want to show you that my brain is like your brain. It wants to freak out and have a whole bunch of drama about these numbers, okay? And all the work that I've been doing, okay? And how it doesn't make sense and all of that. And for sure, I could hear it chattering away and wanting to send me off into, you know, a whole lot of emotions that weren't going to serve me. But I've been on this journey so long, and this is what I coach and I watch myself think, okay? And it's so funny because I just come back to the same thought that I used when I was losing my baby weight again for the 7th time last year. When, you know, the scale is going up and down and it doesn't look or it doesn't feel like it's working or that you're ever going to get there. The thought that I always come back to is, it doesn't matter. Just keep going. Now, as soon as I can move into curiosity or problem solving, critical thinking, I can start to come up with a plan, right? Do I want to use this data to make any changes? I don't know. I might not. I can tell just with, you know, what I've shared that it's working. And so I may just keep going with what I'm doing. I might play around with some of my macronutrient targets. But for now, I'm just going to trust the process. I'm going to enjoy the process and trust the process. And I'm inviting you to try that on too if you find that your brain wants to send you into a bunch of drama, because it's very normal for that to happen. And I want you to know when it's happening so you can pull yourself out of it and stay focused, stay in action, because results will come when you don't get distracted, discouraged, spinning out in a bunch of unhelpful drama. Now, let's talk about the topic that I introduced to you at the last podcast at the end that felt kind of like a cliffhanger because it's such a good one. The topic I've selected to discuss in depth with you today is probably something every single doctor seeing diabetic patients needs to listen to. And so if you want to share this podcast with your doctor, please do. Gone are the days that I lectured primary care residents as a board-certified pharmacist, and woe is them, because they could learn so much from me. But guess what? You're going to get to learn it from me. And that, to me, is so much funner than teaching it to doctors. This topic is about a clinical scenario that requires the use of critical thinking skills and an ability to pay attention to the details. There's this really odd and funny thing that has happened in my coaching practice over the last few years where I seem to attract people who have been misdiagnosed with type 2 diabetes. It's happened so often now that I can almost smell it. I can pick up on it quickly. And I would say I'm doing this with random people that reach out to me at least once or twice a month now. That's a lot of people doing the best job that they can to manage their blood sugars. They're taking their meds, monitoring frequently, changing their diet, working out often, taking expensive supplements, you know, all the things. And they're reaching out to me frustrated, confused, and feeling lost, and sometimes hopeless, because it's still not working to achieve optimal blood sugar levels. And with just one or two emails or within minutes of a conversation, I can pick up on the red flags that something isn't quite right, and it's probably their diagnosis. They've been told that they have type 2 diabetes and usually put on, you know, one or more medications and sent out the door when what is really going on is they have LADA, latent autoimmune diabetes in adults, sometimes referred to as type 1.5 diabetes. Okay, so let me describe what this condition is and how it compares to type 2 diabetes and type 1 diabetes so that you understand the true nature of this problem. LADA is at its core a disease of insulin deficiency. That is very different, completely opposite of type 2 diabetes, which is a condition of insulin resistance and excessively elevated levels of insulin. Insulin resistance, like type 2 diabetes, is reversible through lifestyle modifications that control glucose levels, bring that insulin level down to normal ranges, liberates body fat, especially from the organs and the muscle tissue, and frees up the capacity to store body fat under the skin where it does not cause metabolic dysfunction. LADA is not reversible. It is an autoimmune condition in which the body is destroying pancreatic beta cells that make insulin or insulin itself. Because there is a loss of beta cell function, insulin production is significantly impaired, but not completely lost. It's a very, I like to say, heterogeneous group of people in the way that there can be a lot of variability in the type of autoantibodies being produced, the amount that they're produced in, therefore the aggressiveness of the destruction, the remaining insulin production, and the impact on the blood sugar. But if you know how to recognize the physical characteristics and the signs of this type of diabetes, it is not difficult to identify or at least suspect so that you can further investigate. Remember, too, that type 1 diabetes is complete insulin deficiency. That's like zero insulin production. People with LADA retain a little function of their insulin-producing cells, and that is why they usually do not end up with diabetic ketoacidosis in the hospital. And they can see significant improvements in their blood sugar control with diet changes and even some meds for type 2, especially metformin. Studies report that around 10% of people with type 2 diabetes in the United States actually have LADA. If there's 35 million people in the country with type 2 diabetes, that's something like 3.5 million who actually have LADA. That's pretty staggering. And when I read that, it made more sense to me why these people keep calling me up. So how can I tell when someone is probably misdiagnosed? Well, here's some of the first red flags. The onset is middle age, usually somewhere like around 40 to 55 years of age. They are of normal weight, even describing themselves as lean. They have an active lifestyle and exercise regularly. They eat low carb and still have uncontrolled blood sugar levels at times or all of the time. And they don't respond well to many oral type 2 diabetes medications or even have intolerant side effects of these drugs. So those are the usual first red flags that I can pick up on that immediately have me suspecting that this person has the wrong diagnosis. There are some additional risk factors that also paint the picture of LADA. So I'm going to share those with you as well. There is an absence of other indicators of metabolic disease, like high blood pressure or elevated cholesterol. There is an absence of typical signs and symptoms of type 2 diabetes or insulin resistance. So this would be like that darkening between the skin folds, which is also called acanthosis nigricans, or skin tags, is another sign. They have a waist. Okay, they have like a true waist in their build, and they're not apple-shaped. They don't have that abdominal obesity where the waist circumference is abnormally distended. So we're talking in the criteria for metabolic disease, that would be 40 inches or more for men, 35 inches or more for women. They have a history. This is a really good one. They have a history of autoimmune disease, other autoimmune diseases, such as hypothyroidism, rheumatoid arthritis, Crohn's disease, celiac disease, any other kind of indication that they have autoimmune disease or immune dysregulation. They have a history of hospitalization for diabetic ketoacidosis or super high blood sugars. If the person is already on insulin injections, which are often needed for blood sugar control in a LADA person, the total daily dose is pretty low because there is insulin sensitivity. So we're talking easily less than 40 units a day total. Often much lower, especially if it's only long-acting being prescribed and the person is picking up the slack with their lifestyle. People with insulin resistance usually advance their dose over time to somewhere around a unit per kilogram per day. So in like a 180-pound person, this would be something like 80 units per day total. And the dose is much higher in these people because the body does not respond appropriately due to insulin resistance. I hope that makes sense. When a person with LADA takes insulin, small doses, even as little as 5 to 10 units, yield big blood sugar responses. Do any of these signs or symptoms resonate with you? Are you feeling uncertain of your diagnosis right now? Luckily, there's an easy way to know with certainty if you have LADA. It's confirmed with lab testing. You will either need to have your doctor order labs or go online and order them yourself. That is a thing, by the way, guys. Especially if you live in a metropolitan area. Whichever way you go, you're going to get the following tests done. You're going to get an autoantibody panel that is usually used to diagnose type 1 diabetes. Okay, so there's 4 autoantibodies that should be part of this autoantibody panel for type 1 diabetes. 3 of those autoantibodies are to the pancreatic islet cell. They are called GAD65, IA2, or ICA. This one in particular can go by both names, either ICA or IA2. And then the third one is the zinc transporter, ZNT8. Okay, so that's 3 to the actual pancreatic beta cell. The last of the 4 is to insulin itself, and it is called insulin autoantibody. You will also want to get a fasting insulin or a C-peptide level. C-peptide is released when the pancreas makes insulin, and it lasts longer in the bloodstream than insulin just because it doesn't get broken down as quickly. So having your doctor order one of these as a routine part of your blood labs anyway is advised because it's good to trend this when you have type 2. Trends are just more powerful than any single data point. But if you're suspecting that you have LADA, you're going to want a C-peptide or a fasting insulin because if it's low or low normal, that is a strong indicator that you are not insulin resistant. If it's high or high normal, that would be consistent with insulin resistance. So that is a lot to take in. And you may want to listen to this over again with a notepad and a pen to grab all that information that I just delivered. So I currently have 4 clients I'm working with that were misdiagnosed and found to have LADA. And as crazy as it sounds, this morning, one of them saw another endocrinologist, maybe her 3rd this year, who said to her face that she doesn't have LADA, even with a positive autoantibody screen and a low normal C-peptide, that she asked for herself. She recommended treating her as a type 2 diabetic with type 2 diabetes medications. She thought insulin could be discontinued, and it is actually insanity that this was her perspective. This is why people with LADA hire me. They typically want to see if they can design a lifestyle that feels sustainable and gives them plenty of energy and vitality while minimizing their medication burden. And sometimes insulin can be avoided altogether depending on how much slack they're willing to pick up with their lifestyle changes. Essentially, if you are making some insulin, the question is, can we find a lifestyle where what is available is enough? Or we're simply working on creating that perfect balance of diet changes, exercise regimen, and insulin, plus or minus other meds like metformin, without creating weight gain or wild swings in blood sugars. This is a little bit of a mind bender, but it makes sense that you could actually develop type 1 and type 2 diabetes at the same time. If you follow the advice of many docs and nutritionists who say that you can eat, quote, anything you want, as long as you dose your insulin to cover it, on a standard American diet, that will probably result in many, many insulin injections a day. And that leads to weight gain, and over time, causes the same disease process that drives fatty liver and insulin resistance. So what you can end up with is an individual who makes no or very little insulin, as they do in LADA, injecting insulin in high amounts many times a day with uncontrolled blood sugars and blood sugar roller coasters. So my clients definitely want to avoid this scenario. And we usually create exceptional blood sugar control well beyond what the doctor wants to see with relatively tiny insulin doses and no roller coasters. I am hoping that with the release of this podcast, some of those 3.5 million people with the wrong diagnosis will find their way to the truth. And from there, end the struggle with their bodies and learn to support their bodies with the right healthy approach that's best for them. I want to leave you with a profound quote that my client who I'm in this challenge with emailed me this morning. It was such a good one, so I want to share it here. There is only one big risk you should avoid at all costs, and that is the risk of doing nothing, said by Dennis Waitley. We don't often think of the risk of not deciding, staying stuck in indecision, being a decision to do nothing. Yeah, we're afraid to do the wrong thing or to fail, but in these cases, at least we get closer to the truth or to success, especially if we keep going, keep trying something new. The riskier thing to do is nothing. So just pick your next step and go. The more action you take, the less time you spend overthinking, the more action you take. If you're not taking action, if you're stuck in old patterns, if you know you need more structure, accountability, and guidance, and you're ready to claim your future free from this life-taking disease, let's talk. Go to sarahtownley.com. Send me your application now. Have a beautiful day, my friends. I love you. Okay, don't leave yet. You're going to want to hear about this. If you love my podcast, if I'm the only sane voice you've found on this subject, if I've already helped you, you need to check out my online course. It's a start to finish, step-by-step video course that teaches you all the tools you need to know to beat this disease. You can find it on my website, sarahtownley.com. Along with lots of other free tools that will make taking care of your diabetes so much easier. So get over there right now. See you there.